You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us every week to get in on the action. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here by myself for a quick second. We hosted a Spotify Green Room after the Dodgers win last night. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it, but Jeff was able to do so and had a great conversation with everyone. So that's going to be today's episode. Dodgers swept the Padres. The Giants did not lose, so the Dodgers are still 2.5 out. But we're going to get into the sweep of the Padres and some other topics. So make sure to stay tuned. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's get into the green room.
So what'd you think of the Dodger game tonight, man?
Oh, it was great. It was just, you know, I'm so glad it was much less drama than last night. It seemed really routine. Max Scherzer just shoved. Barnsley got the great home run. It was great. All the defense was really great. No errors. So, I mean, it was just fantastic. I'm really glad they swept them.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at what the Dodgers pitching did in this series, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. The starting pitching allowed zero earned runs. Overall, the Padres had 10 hits in 34 innings. It was just on the pitching side, the Dodgers just dominated this entire weekend or week series. You know, obviously the offense didn't really dominate yesterday's game. It took 16 innings to get it done, but you can't say enough about what the Dodgers pitching did this week.
Yeah, from top to bottom, the starters to the relievers. I think that the Padres only got something like 8 or 10 hits the whole series, something like that. I mean, it was just there. Yeah, I know they're struggling right now, but I think our pitchers also just really, really came to the show, especially the relievers. That extra inning game last night, I mean, it was just – even Sean Green, I mean, came in and got 3 outs in a row. I couldn't believe it after that horrible opening he had the other day at Dodger Stadium. He came back and just closed it out. It was great.
Yeah, Shane Green looks like he might be an actual contributor in the bullpen. All in all, no complaints there. So, Austin Barnes, you mentioned Barnes. That was big. You know, Will Smith had the big home run yesterday, Austin Barnes today. And, you know, Barnsley is not going to hit as many home runs as Smith, but whatever it was, you know, even if it was a lucky hit, we'll take it, you know. And, batting eighth, getting a home run there, you know, he had already worked the count. It looked like, oh, sweet. At least he's going to take a walk and let Scherzer sack bunt and get to the top of the order with two runners in scoring position and one out. And then Barnes is like, I'm just going to go ahead and drive in the winning runs right now. And it turns out we could have ended the game right then. But I'm glad we didn't, because we got to see Max Scherzer, just like Ken Rosenthal predicted, Max Scherzer pitching a home game at Petco Park in August. So the Dodger crowd really showed up at Petco tonight.
Yeah, when he walked off, the cheers were amazing. He got such loud cheers when he walked off the field in the eighth there. It was just, it was almost, like I said, a home game at Dodger Stadium. It's really funny to watch how many Dodgers fans show up at Petco Park.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also want to give a shout-out to A.J. Pollock. A.J. Pollock is continuing his just amazing tear right now. He is just pounding the ball. It's just amazing to watch.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, even though he's cooled off some, his batting average has gone down, but he's gotten key hits, you know. He almost had another homer tonight. He almost ended up a double short of the cycle, if not for having a home run robbed. And, you know, he got key hits in each of the series. You know, he basically was the difference maker in the first two games and then added on a big insurance run in today's game. So, even if he's not going to keep hitting, you know, 400 for a whole month at a time, it's pretty awesome to see him contributing that way.
Yeah, like I said, he's just been on fire this last couple months, and I hope it continues all the way through to October.
Yeah, me too. And we'll take it, because his previous October performances with the Dodgers have not been that stellar.
Less than stellar, yeah.
Yep.
I thought Mookie looked pretty good tonight. The swings looked okay. I'm glad he's not. He didn't look like he was in any pain or any. All the wincing he did was all because he missed pitches that I think he should have clobbered. But he looked good tonight. He looked healthy, I was really happy.
Yeah, especially for a first game back. You know, you're not expecting him to come in and just dominate offensively, but coming in and being healthy. You know, he did work a walk. He played solid defense. I noticed even on Caratini's double, I think it was, Mookie looked like he was moving better in the outfield, getting to that ball in the corner. And it's not like it was a big rush at the catcher. It's not like there was any chance it was going to be a triple, but to my eye watching on TV, it looked like Mookie was moving better in the outfield, and that's definitely a good sign.
Yeah, he's looked better the last couple of days. This is the happiest. Just if you look in the dugout and just look at him around, this is the happiest and most sort of boisterous I've seen him in a while. He's just kind of been seen kind of down this whole year because he just doesn't look right. He looks just more right.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of looking happy, like Albert Pujols, it's kind of ridiculous. Like you see him talking to Barnes after that home run and like putting him in a little headlock and stuff. Like Albert Pujols did not contribute in this series. He didn't really have much opportunity. He got, you know, did he even play in the first game? I can't remember. He did.
Yeah. I think he pinch hit. I think he may have pinch hit.
I know he pinch hit yesterday and, you know, they changed pitchers and he didn't, you know, he hit a little weak grounder, but even then he's contributing in the dugout. He looks so happy. He's having fun. He's being Albert Pujols. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer and these guys, yeah, baseball players are real people too. And you know, they're like, I can't believe I'm teammates with Albert Pujols. And to be in that experience and seeing the teammate that Albert Pujols is being, it makes me very happy. Charlie, how you doing, man?
Not bad, Jeff. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I was just gonna say that's been my favorite thing with Albert is just how happy he looks. It's so cool to see.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if we got bad information because you know when the Angels released Albert Pujols, the story that came out was he was not willing to take a part-time role, and it was kind of he was painted as kind of the villain in it, or at least. You know, not a sympathetic figure. And that's why, you know, we were, I didn't think there was any way he was signing with the Dodgers because I knew the Dodgers didn't have a full-time role to give him. And everything we had heard was that he wanted that full-time role, but the way he has embraced, not just a part-time role, but I mean, with everybody healthy now, Albert Pujols is not going to get much playing time at all. And he still looks like he's as happy as he's ever been. And, you know, part of that is just recognizing where he's at in his career that, you know, one of the best things he can do to contribute to a team is to be that influence in the dugout, to be that guy who, you know, gives the hugs. I want an Albert Pujols hug. It almost makes me wish that I had, you know, been a good enough baseball player to hit a home run for the Dodgers so Albert Pujols would hug me. Although I'm one of the few people who's actually older than Albert Pujols. So I guess the timing might not have worked out. But, I mean, everything he's doing not on the field makes it totally worth the $300,000 that the Dodgers are paying him or whatever.
I agree with you. I guess I would say I think what it shows is that the Angels made a huge mistake because the Dodgers said they basically sat down with Albert and had a conversation with him and told him what they expect and what's expected and how they're going to do this. And as long as they were honest with him and told him what they expect, he seems to have accepted it. So I don't know why the Angels didn't just sit Albert down and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what we expect. And I guess they just didn't want to do that because the Dodgers made it clear what they want to do with him. And he seems to be responding great to it.
Yeah, although in fairness to the Angels, I've probably mentioned this before, a lot of the value he has to the Dodgers is that they're paying him peanuts, you know, and the Angels are paying him $30 million. They're doing that either way, but there's different expectations that come with a $30 million contract and a league minimum contract. And so even though Albert's still making that $30 million this year, he's not making it from the Dodgers. So the expectations from the Dodgers are, and for Dodger fans, like basically anything he gives on the field is a bonus. And then you got all this in the dugout, you know, and Mike Trout said he cried when he found out the Angels had released Pujols. Obviously Pujols had that impact in the Angels locker, in the clubhouse and in the dugout, but that it's harder to have that much impact when you're being paid $30 million. And so I feel like he's kind of embraced being the, you know, nothing's expected of me and anything I do is a bonus kind of role that he has with the Dodgers. And I don't know that that would have been possible with the Angels.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar yet, honestly, I really don't know what you're waiting for. We cannot recommend Built Bar enough. Jeff and I are both avid Built Bar users and consumers, and it's great. And right now they're having a big 10% off site-wide sale, so you should go to built.com, check it out. They got raspberry cheesecake as one of the flavors right now, and then they got 9 other flavors. You can get a mix box where you can try every flavor. You can build your own box where you can mix and match up to 3 flavors. Whatever you want, whatever you need from Built Bar, Built can do it. So go check it out at built.com. Not only are they great tasting, but they're healthy as well. 17, 18 grams of protein, under 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams sugar, 4 to 5 gram net carbs. Everything you need, any diet you're on, Built Bar can be part of it. And they're also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Just yesterday's game was really like a marathon. That's honestly, like you said, some of the worst baseball I've seen ever played.
Yeah. And I guess you could say it was good pitching, but in the end, I mean, you even had bad pitchers just getting outs, you know. And
yeah.
Everybody except that Camarena guy, you know. So must be the name. But but yeah, it was long, and I mean, tonight's game got over a full 4 hours before last night's game did. Obviously, it started an hour earlier, so it had a head start. But still, 4 hours earlier, we'll take that. And you know, it was nice to see the Dodgers' offense bounce back. It's not like they dominated, but going up against Yu Darvish, who, even though he's coming off the IL, he is still a very good pitcher. And you know, he's had a lot of success against the Dodgers this year. And so to see the offense come out, that's why that home run by Barnes was so big, just to set that tone. Because I mean, the Dodgers went down in order the first two innings coming into that. And, you know, McKinney, he worked a walk, right? I think McKinney walked before Barnes.
Yeah, he worked a walk. He was down 0-2, and then he worked a four-pitch walk.
Yeah, that's what it was. And so huge at-bat by McKinney. And then Barnsey, you know, obviously he's not going to hit a home run every time. But, you know, a line drive like that, that's just as easily a run-scoring double, which also would have set the tone, you know. And all in all, like getting those runs off Darvish and kind of knowing we've got Max Scherzer on the mound, and Max Scherzer, especially since coming to the Dodgers, has just been dominant. And so like you kind of had a feeling, well, you know what? 2 runs might be enough. Obviously let's score some more. And they tacked on another one that inning and then another one an inning or two later. But you know, with Max Scherzer on the mound, basically once the Dodgers had 4 runs, it's like, okay, well this game's over. The only question is how long is Scherzer going to go and how many is he going to strike out? And the answer ended up being 7 2/3 innings and 10 strikeouts, and that was after he kind of slowed down a little bit at the end. So all in all, just, you know, the offense did enough, and it was really nice to see them bounce back after, you know, 14 innings of ineptitude yesterday.
No, yeah, they really bounced back really nice. Because when the game started, when Yu Darvish first started, I thought, well, he started to cruise kind of in the beginning there. So I thought, oh, we're going to have another great Yu Darvish start. But then when Barnes hit that homer, I thought that was huge. I was just – I went bananas because I thought, I knew, like you said, we had Max Scherzer on the mound, so I thought we get those 2 runs and we should cruise. And then when they tacked on the other 2, I was like, we got this. And then especially when he went all the way to the 8th inning, I'm like, now we really got this. So
yeah.
I was just overjoyed.
Yep, and that inning, I think it was the 5th when Scherzer let the first 2 guys get on, and then he strikes out Kim to get the first out. I think that's what it was. And then
on 3 pitches.
And then he got the double play that with – you know, great play by Justin Turner, nice play by Trey Turner, nice play by Billy McKinney. I love those double plays where like all 3 guys have to make good plays to get it done. And that totally, I mean, that was the Padres' chance to grab some momentum there. Like if they even get 1 run in there, I feel like that changes the game because Scherzer wouldn't go as deep in the game, you know, and the Padres would show a little life. And instead they just didn't, you know, they didn't have any life. And that double play sucked whatever life they had out of them. And basically, that was the nail in the coffin. That ended the game. And I think, did the Reds win today? And I think so. Now the Padres,
yes, they did.
Two games behind the Reds for the second wild card. So, yeah, you know, I won't think about the Padres much again until the next time they play the Dodgers. But it's kind of, you know, if they miss the playoffs, I will find at least a little bit of enjoyment in that.
Yeah, for all the stuff that their fans talked this offseason in the beginning when they were up on the series of 7-3, they talked constantly. So I'm sorry, but it's kind of glad to see them now not really saying a whole lot.
So one thing I'm interested to see, because Max Scherzer has been very effusive in his praise of Will Smith the last several starts and having Austin Barnes catching him, obviously Barnes hitting a home run, that'll make a pitcher happy. And there was at least one, you know, I don't remember who it was at the plate, but a called strike three that was not a strike that Barnes stole at the bottom of the zone. And that's one of the specific things that Max Scherzer has said he liked about Will Smith, is that low target and stealing those pitches at the bottom of the zone. And so I'm interested to see what Scherzer has to say about Barnes. But as a pitcher coming over, you know, Will Smith still gets a lot of crap for his defense. But if you look at the numbers, he's actually extremely good defensively this year on framing. You know, the fact that he's thrown out he has basically a league average caught stealing rate when he has a pitching staff that is terrible at holding runners, that's impressive. You know, he does have a share of pass balls, but all elite framing catchers have a lot of pass balls. That's just part of the trade-off, because you're trying to move your glove at just the right time. And sometimes that means you miss the ball. And, you know, that's something we'll be happy to deal with. It's something that Yasmani Grandal got knocked a lot for with the Dodgers too. And I was always willing to accept it because he was an elite framer. And, you know, Barnes and Smith have the same thing. Barnes, it has manifested itself more in catcher's interference this year for some reason. And with Smith, it's more pass balls. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers have two extremely good defensive catchers. And for a pitcher like Max Scherzer coming over, I have to imagine that is probably a lot of fun to come into that situation, knowing whoever catches me is likely to have a really good game behind the plate. And, by the way, at least one of them can really hit, and the other one hit a two-run homer tonight. Just reading a quote from Fabian Ardaia right now on Twitter. Both Max Scherzer and Dave Roberts said that having Will Smith and Austin Barnes catch Scherzer has been a seamless transition. Scherzer said he enjoys the low targets that both backstops set behind the plate. So that just came in 21 seconds ago, literally while I was talking about that. So I guess I'm in sync with the Dodgers post-game press conference, if nothing else. So you guys have any thoughts on that or on anything else you want to talk about?
I just think it's really great how I think that having two really great catchers like Barnes and Smith is the reason why we have a pitcher like Scherzer. I think the reason we can let go of a prospect like a Ruiz is because we have two really great catchers, one that hits really well and one that's a good catcher. And like you just said, also can hit a home run every once in a while. So the whole reason I think we even have Max Scherzer is because those two guys are so good.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was hard to trade Keibert Ruiz. You know, he's a really good prospect. He might end up being a really good major leaguer. But, you know, I said kind of jokingly on Twitter and on this podcast, you know, the reason that Keibert Ruiz existed basically was for the Dodgers to trade into Max Scherzer. We've known for a couple of years now that Keibert Ruiz was going to be traded for somebody really good at one of these trade deadlines. And, you know, with it not happening when the Dodgers were trying to trade for the Pirates relief pitcher who ended up being a rapist and going to prison. And then last year with COVID, you know, just messing with everything, you know, it turned out to be this year. But you know what? Max Scherzer and Trey Turner is a pretty darn good, you know, that's why you develop a player like Keibert Ruiz, so that you can trade him for guys like Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. No complaints there, you know?
None at all. That's what's really great about this team, is the player development is just amazing, because you see other teams really kind of struggle with that, including the one that we played tonight. And it's just amazing. They just have an endless well of guys they can draw upon, pitchers and position players. And it just speaks to how really tight this organization is and why I'm a big fan, because I like seeing excellence. I'm a big fan of excellence.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the reason that I didn't start this green room immediately after the game is because I hopped on the Locked On Today podcast and was talking about this series. And, you know, the host of that kind of mentioned, you know, money can't buy happiness, but it sure is nice, you know? And I made the point there, and I'll make it here, that the Dodgers are run the way every fan should wish their team was run, because they draft well, even though they haven't had a high draft pick since like Clayton Kershaw was drafted. And yet they've drafted well. They got Cody Bellinger the fifth round. They got Walker Buehler because they were willing to draft a guy they knew needed Tommy John surgery. That's why they have Walker Buehler. They used a high draft pick on a guy they knew wouldn't pitch for a year and a half for them. And it worked out great. They have great drafting. They have the best player development in baseball, and they're willing to spend money to keep their good players and to, you know, use their prospects that they've built up to trade for guys like Mookie Betts and then say, hey, Mookie, you know how it's awesome here? How about we give you a bunch of money to stay? And he says, yes, please. You know, everything about what the Dodgers are doing, I understand why people hate the Dodgers. If I didn't love the Dodgers, I would probably hate the Dodgers too. But that would be because I was jealous, because they are doing exactly what every fan wishes their team would do. Because guess what? There are no have-nots. No matter what Bob Nightingale tells you, there are no have-nots among Major League Baseball owners. Every one of them is rich. Every one of their teams is making money. The question is, are they willing to spend that money on the on-field product? And the answer for the Dodgers is yes. We pay a lot of money. I pay a lot of money every year to be a Dodgers season ticket holder. And the Dodgers are taking that money and they're spending on the product. Yes, I'm not naive. I know their owners are getting rich because it would be impossible to spend as much as they're making, you know, on the on-field product. Just their TV deal alone covers their payroll, not to mention, you know, the tickets and the concessions and the merchandise and everything. They're just raking in money hand over fist. But the fact that they're willing to not maximize those profits, they're saying, you know what? What luxury tax? I don't care. Let's win another World Series. And that is, as a Dodger fan, as a baseball fan, every fan should wish their owners were willing to do that.
Exactly.
It's that time of year again as all eyes start turning to football, with teams heading back on the gridiron to start the season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests at BetOnline, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo, which is where you make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the reigning Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. From baseball, football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And, you know, yeah, you look at the teams that played tonight. The Padres have Eric Hosmer, who they're paying way too much money for 4 more years. Yeah. The Dodgers have Max Muncy, who's going to be in the top three for the MVP award this year. You know, same position, one guy making a whole lot less money and, you know, getting paid, you know, fairly based on service time and everything. You know, I feel bad for Muncy that he was so old by the time he really blossomed, because he's 31 years old now and is still kind of in the arbitration years, but he's making good money. It's not like he's hurting for money, but he's making less than Eric Hosmer, despite being significantly better, because the Dodgers are better at spending their money. You know, they got, like you said, Chris Taylor off the scrap heap from the Mariners. Helped him, you know, and to be clear, Max Muncy and Chris Taylor deserve, and Justin Turner deserve almost all of the credit for turning themselves into great players. All three of them did that on their own with little or no help from the Dodgers. But once the Dodgers had them, you know, they obviously saw something in them. And once they had them, they said, you know what, let's keep them. They've re-signed Justin Turner twice. They've extended both Taylor and Muncy. They are doing what it takes to keep these guys. Instead of just saying, you know what, and the Padres tried to do that with Tatis, you know, and maybe it'll work out for them. But they've also spent way too much money on Eric Hosmer. They spent a ton of money on Manny Machado. And
Will Myers.
Yeah, Machado's really good right now, but for how long? Yeah, Will Myers, paying him way too much, you know. And so, yeah, the Dodgers do spend a lot of money, more than anybody else in baseball, but they're also better at it. And that's why they are, despite what the standings say, the best team in baseball. And, you know, but the Giants are the one team ahead of them. And like I said, back when the Giants hired Farhan Zaidi, I wasn't so sad to be losing Zaidi. I was just sad that the Giants were getting smart, because that's, you know, because Farhan knows what he's doing. And, you know, the worst thing that ever happened to the Giants from a long-term perspective is winning those 3 World Series in 5 years, because they committed to Brian Sabian for so much longer, despite the fact that he's not very good at being a general manager. He was old school, and the times had passed him by, and it took them several years to realize that. And, you know, Zaidi was starting from scratch and, you know, got it done quicker than, or at least this year is quicker. We'll see. You know, yesterday on the broadcast, Joe Davis was talking about the plexiglass principle, how, you know, got teams that outperform 1 year often bounce back the next year. He was talking about the Padres when he said it, but I was thinking about the Giants in 2022. You know, are they going to see a regression? Because, you know, everything that Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey and Brandon Belt are doing, well, guess what? They're all going to be a year older next year. And they were. One of the concerns this year was they're all old. You know, Mike Yastrzemski, despite the fact he's only been in the league for a couple of years, is like 850 years old. You know, they're going to have a lot of old guys, and we'll see what they do. It's going to be a tricky balancing act for Zaidi up there in San Francisco to say, okay, you know, we really do need to commit to youth in some, you know, on some level. You know, are they going to re-sign Chris Bryant? Chris Bryant's, you know, not young. He's he's 30-ish, I think, because he was a rookie in 2015, and I think he was already like 24 years old then.
Well, I'm not sure how much they're committing to youth. They just re-signed Crawford for 2 more years. I mean,
yeah, and that's an interesting thing. You know, it is 2 years, so you know that you can still commit to youth with some old guys on your team. You know, but yeah, you imagine they're going to extend Posey. They're going to at least think about bringing Brandon Belt back, and it's going to be tricky to decide. Okay,
and they're still going to be the oldest team in the league.
Yeah,
are they ever going to change?
How much can we commit to nostalgia, and how much can we, you know, go for youth? So it'll be interesting to see. Justin Hicken, how you doing, man?
Hey, Jeff, I'm just driving in the car, so hopefully there's not too much feedback. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound just fine, or as good as you can anyway.
Okay, well, of course you had to get me there. Hey, I didn't watch the game at all tonight, so I don't have any comment on that, but I was happy to see the win. And as much as I give Dave Roberts a hard time, I got to give him credit for last night's game. Even if they would have lost, I felt like, you know, he made all the right moves. And that was probably one of the most frustrating wins that I've ever seen or been had to witness in a long time. I mean, you do want to be able to have a final outcome to a game. But, man, if there was ever a time where you feel like, man, they should do something or just say, hey, you guys have both played so bad on offensively that, you know, we're going to ding you both or something. I don't know, but I was glad the Dodgers were able to come out with the win last night, and glad they were able to get the sweep.
Yeah. Yeah. Say what you will about Dave Roberts, but he was definitely the best manager in that game yesterday. And, you know, I think after 14 innings, they ought to go to the tiebreaker of, okay, who scored the most earned runs, you know, and, that game could have been a couple innings shorter if they had done that. I've talked a lot about managers' decisions and stuff, and how there's not really right and wrong. Jace Tingler not double switching, and so he was out of bench players so soon. That's clearly a wrong decision. That's like a 90-10 decision, and he picked the 10% one. And, you know, he didn't have the same stakes as the, you know, Dave Roberts going to Clayton Kershaw in the eighth inning in game five of the NLDS in 2019. But other than the stakes, that was just as bad a decision as that. It was just it was pointless and silly, and you know, appreciate it, because that set up the whole rest of the game, because that meant the Dodgers every single time. I don't know if you guys saw, Jake Cronenworth was on base 6 straight innings, because in the 11th inning he was intentionally walked, and then they got the pitcher out, so he started the 12th inning as the runner on second base. Then in the 13th he was intentionally walked, and then they got the pitcher out. So he started the 14th on second base. Then in the 15th, he was intentionally walked. And then they got the pitcher out. So he started the 16th on second base. He was on base 6 innings in a row without ever stepping in the batter's box, because Jace Tingler, and obviously they were going to run out of players at some point, but you know, they ran out sooner. And if you don't run out so soon, then the Dodgers either have to pitch to Machado and or Cronenworth, or you have at least a real pinch hitter available in that bases loaded spot instead of Joe Musgrove. And so, yeah, I mean, the Padres helped the Dodgers win that game. But yeah, like you said, Justin, like I said on Twitter, it was a game that both teams deserved to lose for a long time. But at the end, the Dodgers deserved to win it a little bit more than the Padres did. Blake in the chat says, now if only the Giants start losing, and hope we don't fall asleep against the Rockies this weekend. Yeah, I mean, the bad news is the Dodgers don't get to play the Mets anymore this year. But the good news is the Giants don't get to play the Mets anymore this year. So, yeah, the Giants are going up against the Braves. Dodgers are going against the Rockies. This should be a weekend for the Dodgers to gain a game or two, because the Braves are a really good team. Right at this moment, I think, you know, despite the fact that the Giants are playing well, I don't think they're that good. I think it's a lot that, you know, they played the Mets, you know, and obviously they get up for games against the Dodgers. I still think they're outperforming, and maybe I'm going to think that until the end of the season, and they're going to finish in first place and win the World Series. I don't know, but as of right now, I still think they're outperforming what they actually are. And I'm hopeful that playing against the Braves, they will come back to earth a little bit, because I mean, you look, they didn't actually play that well against the Mets. It's just that they were playing the Mets, and so they won the games anyway.
It seems like the Giants have more one-run victories. I mean, they have the most victories out of anybody, so it's probably the same that they have the most one-run victories. But I go, they keep winning all these games, and I just showed them just the basic, you know, the box. I said, look at this line from yesterday, and, you know, I think the Giants won 3-2. And I said, the Mets had 10 hits, the Giants had 4, the Giants had 2 errors, the Mets had 1. I go, you look at all these stats, and, like, the other team should have won, but yet somehow these Giants keep finding a way to, you know, eke out a one-run win.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's stupid. That's all there is to it. It's, you know, and as long as their closer is a guy who throws nothing but 95-mile-an-hour fastballs, I'm not going to believe they're that good. I don't care how much evidence there is that I'm wrong. If Jake McGee is your closer, you're not that good. That's where I draw the line in the sand. That is my principle that I will die on, whether it's right or wrong.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think we haven't really faced them as a healthy team this year. I think once we face them with a fully healthy team, I think we're going to sweep them in the next series. I think we're going to take all 3 games. I think they're all
high. I sure would love to see that. Yeah, and hopefully it'll be, you know, if the Dodgers can gain a couple games this weekend, you know, going into that series, you know, then the Dodgers play the Braves. But obviously there's a lot of hopefullys when you're down by 2.5 games with 35 to play or whatever.
Just want to say that the Pollock catch on Tuesday night, Robbie Machado, was a highlight of my week.
It was awesome. Yeah, you know, it was awesome. And I loved his comments after the game, showing that he recognized where he failed against the Mets in that same situation, and he worked to get better. I have nothing but respect for somebody who recognizes where they are weak and works to improve and then shows improvement. It's awesome.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to download Spotify Green Room and join us next time to get in on the action. We are done for the week, but we'll be back on Monday. Make sure to subscribe or follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to tell your friends and family and coworkers about us. Word of mouth is still the best way for us to continue to grow. Follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email at LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.